Well, I'm so excited that you're here to join me for Voice of Breakthrough, this podcast. So we are going to hit some powerful topics every single week. We will be having a new podcast with a new topic. So get ready. I'm telling you, this is great to exercise to. This is powerful to listen to when you're cleaning your house or cooking that dinner or cutting the grass, but you could turn up loud on your little iPhone or whatever you have there. Anyway, you're going to love this powerful, life-changing, every single week podcast of Voice of Breakthrough. I really believe that we are going to see an outpouring of an apostolic power and true apostles are going to come up. I know there's people now who move called apostles. There's people who really have that calling on their lives. And there are some apostles, I've not met very many of them, who actually walk in apostolic power. But God is going to do an outpouring of his spirit, and he's going to restore the true apostolic position and the power and the authority, and then he's going to make an apostolic people. And so I was asking the Lord, how I've studied Paul, I've studied Peter, you know, I've studied the Gospels, I studied the books, you know, the letters you've written, Lord, what do I need to study to really get an understanding of what the apostolic is going to look like? And the Lord said, well, study me, because I was an apostle. And he's called apostle one time in Scripture. And that's because he wants us to see what are the apostles going to look like. And they really should look like what Jesus looked like. And so how many know we got a ways to go, everybody, to see apostles and to be apostles? And you have to get hungry for more, or you just get to say where you're at, okay? So Luke 5:1. So on one occasion, Jesus was, I'm teaching from the Passion Translation that Brian Simmons said, which I loved his translation. Luke 5:1. On one occasion, Jesus was preaching to the crowds on the shore of Lake Galilee. There was a vast multitude of people pushing to get close to Jesus to hear the word of God. So what do we see there? There was something about Jesus that drew the multitudes. People were so drawn to him. Like, they would rather go and hear him preach than stay home and watch TV. They didn't have their cell phones out. Like, I believe if Jesus walked in here and really began to preach and teach in that authority and power, you wouldn't care about checking your cell phone or your internet. And so when we begin to see real apostolic power in a big way, people will not be distracted. People will really want what he has. Okay, and there was multitudes of them pushing to get close. They wanted to be close. They didn't want to always sit in the back. They couldn't wait to get up close. Like, they'd fill up the front first. They'd want to really be where the anointing is. They'd want to be where nothing could distract them. They'd want to be where they just wanted to be as close to Jesus as possible. And how many know we need that kind of hunger again, and we need to begin to pray for that kind of apostolic anointing to come to the body of Christ. It says, he noticed two fishing boats at the water's edge, and the fishermen were nearby rinsing their nets. Jesus climbed into the boat belonging to Simon Peter and asked him, let me use your boat. Let's push it offshore just a distance away from the shore so I can speak to the crowds. So I don't know. I've been to Israel. I've been to the Sea of Galilee. I don't believe without supernatural that you could actually get in a boat and talk to a crowd. Okay, because, I mean, I was there and just, I was on the boat talking and the crowds on shore couldn't hear me. Actually, the people on the boat couldn't even hear me. So I really believe that God magnified his voice. Now, I have seen that happen. I was at a really big church once, and you know, a lot of churches do this thing where if you have a word, or when control gets in, they want you to go and whisper. This is hilarious to me. They want you to go whisper your prophecy to their prophet, and then he can say yay or nay if you can give it. Well, first of all, I never even know what I'm going to prophesy till it comes out. Okay, like, Holy Spirit speaks through me. It's not like I have a pre-planned little speech that I'm going to come give during a service. And so it kind of cracks me up. So I'm trying to submit to all the authorities and all. So I go up to, quote, whatever the person is who's supposed to decide if I get to speak or not. And Lord speaks to me so loud in a building of over 1,000 people that it's too late to say I can't do it because I just did. And God prophesies what he wants me to say. And the whole place just got really quiet. And so, yeah, you know, I don't know that you're going to whisper prophecy. I don't even know that you can do that, to be quite honest. I don't think you can do that. I really don't think you can go whisper a prophecy to someone to judge it and then come back and release it. Just saying. Anyhow, so here's Jesus. But it was so loud in this building, and this building did not have good acoustics or anything, but everyone could hear it. And anywhere I've prophesied, even in big buildings, everyone could hear it without a microphone. And that's happened quite a few times. And so I believe there's a divine magnification of the voices when we need that. I'm not saying don't use microphones. I do know if the power was out, this building's not that big, I guarantee you I could talk where you could hear me. I do know it does help the voice to not to have to do that for 3 or 4 hours straight, but if it was Holy Spirit and he wanted it done, it could be done. So we see that with Jesus. So Jesus gets there, and he speaks to the crowds. Think about that a minute now. Now, I do know there are places in Israel where they could sit, and the way the places were made, there's a really good echo in the stadiums and things like that they have along. But this is on the water. Like, this is on a boat on the water, and everybody's out on the beach. So how many know there has to be a supernatural in that? Okay, there's got to be, God did something there. So we don't have to worry about if they cut all of electricity. If God wants to be heard, he can still be heard. So Jesus climbed into the boat. Okay, we did that. All right, Luke 5:4. Jesus sat down and taught the people from the boat. Don't you love him? Don't you just love how cool he is? He's out there. Here's the crowd. He's in Peter's boat. Peter's like, what are we doing in my boat? And he's out there from the crowd. And we don't know how, he probably wasn't that far off from shore. You know, he just pushed out so everybody couldn't crowd around him. And instead of standing there all, you know, majestic, which he could, he sits down, sandals and all, and just starts talking to the people. I just pray that the church and those listening, those here listening, those watching, can we begin to just really hear the Lord? He's so fun. He doesn't talk. He talks in a way you understand him. And I'll be honest, when he talks to you in your spirit, he doesn't have to say anything and you get more than you could sit there and tell people about. He's so amazing. My sheep hear my voice. That ought to be your number. After you get born again, your number one desire should be to hear his voice. You should let nothing get in the way of that. Nothing. Nothing from your past. Nothing from wrong doctrine. Nothing, nothing, nothing. If that's not real for you, if that's not real for those listening, you need to go and get before God, get on a fast, get every devil out of the way, ask God to open your ears to hear, and no longer allow the enemy to steal from you that you get to hear the Lord. And also you have his word. My favorite way to hear God is to be reading his word. I actually do a triple thing now. I'm actually listening on Audible to whatever scripture I'm listening to while I'm reading it in the same translation while Jesus is talking to me. It's like I got God in three ways. It's like I'm looking at this. He's talking to me about what I'm reading. I'm listening to it. It's amazing. And then I could push the hold button or whatever you call it, pause button, and really go and listen and then talk to the Lord, the Holy Spirit, about it some more and have him show me Jesus, and I can really see Jesus doing these things. And it's so real. It's so real. We have to become a people who understand the things of the Spirit are more real than the things in the natural. And if you're going to be in these end times, which we are, and you want to have a peace when everybody else is in panic and crazy and you don't want pretended faith, then you're going to have to make developing a relationship with Jesus Christ and hearing him a priority, the priority of your life, the priority of your life, the priority of your life. All right, so here he is. So he sits down because that's how cool he is. And he taught the people from the boat. When he had finished, he said to Peter, now row out to deep water to cast your nets and you'll have a great catch. I think this is a little prophetic because how many know God says all kinds of cool things? So when he says go to deep waters, I think he's talking to us. I think he's saying, I think prophetically saying, let's go into deeper waters. Let's go into places in the spirit you haven't been before. Let's go into the deep places. Let's go into, how many know when you get in deep, you cannot walk, and you really, you're past your ankles, you're past your knees, you're past your waist, and you're over your head. I'm ready to get over my head. Let's go into the deep waters. And when you get to the deep waters, cast your nets and you'll have a great catch. What does that mean? When I go into, God, take me to the deep places and I'm going to cast my net. I'm going to believe that you are going to do something powerful in my life because I'm walking out into the deep waters. And I'm believing I'm going to catch something that's going to be amazing. I'm believing I'm going to catch a revelation. I'm going to catch a gift of the Spirit. I'm going to catch something in the spirit realm because I'm going to go into the deep waters. I think it's time for everyone in the body of Christ to go into the next level. The next level takes more dedication to spend time with God. It takes a seriousness about holiness. If he says, don't do that, you say, yes, sir. If he says, quit it, you say, yes, sir. If he says, get healed here, you say, yes, sir. And you no longer play around with strongholds in your life. You no longer play around with areas of bondage. You let go. He's calling us all to this. That's what the shakings are about, okay? So now he says, so Jesus sat down to him. He rose out to the deep waters, cast your nets, and you will have a great catch. Peter says, master, which I love this. Do we get it? He's the master. What is Peter saying when he calls him master here? He's basically saying, you're the boss. And even though I don't agree with you, which he's going to tell you in a minute, I'm going to do what you said because you're the master. So I would say, if we want the kind of results that Peter's going to get in a few minutes, if you want the kind of relationship that can take you into an apostolic authority in your prayers and everything, you need to recognize him as master before friend, before bridegroom king, before father. You have to recognize he is the master. What he says, go. When he says, it means it. This is a big problem with Christianity in America anyway. People do whatever they want. They go to church if they feel like going to church. Well, how about get up and ask Holy Spirit if you're supposed to be at church? It'd be really rare for him to say, oh, no, I think it would be much better for you to just stay home in your pajamas and watch on TV. After all, why not? Don't worry about that scripture that says, in the day we're living in, don't forsake the fellowshipping together of believers. Don't worry that you're part of a body, that you're a living stone, that I actually have something I want you to do and be a part of today, not only to receive. No, I'm sure he's probably going to say, oh, yeah, my grace isn't going to be able to get you there. You're so tired. I'm not being legalistic. I'm saying when you make him master, he has you do more, not less, than you did when you were under legalism. To be honest, he'll have you do more, not less, than you did under legalism. The difference is legalism brings death. What does it mean? I'm doing it because I think I have to cross my T's and dot my I's, or you know, the devil's going to get me, and I'm not going to please God, and I live under condemnation. That's legalism. But how sad is it to think it's freedom when his idea of freedom is he's master. Does everybody get that? His idea of freedom is freedom from sin. Freedom from bondage. It's not freedom to give into your flesh. It's not freedom to give into you in charge. The whole idea of him being master is you're not in charge. And we all need to really wake up to that. The church had better get back involved with God being master. I'm serious. I was watching different YouTube videos, and I'm seeing all the people with so many problems and kids. This one kid, I don't know, he got killed. I don't know if he was shot. They never told you because the mom's all crying, this and that. And all I could think of is, when are we going to realize this is serious times? When are we going to know we had better pray for our kids in faith? We had better be sensitive to Holy Spirit. We are living in a day that is like no other day in history. And there's places that have had this as worse, you know, as bad as we've seen in the U.S. as of this moment. By the time you see this, who knows? We've got to become a people who are able to not be afraid in dangerous times. And we need our kids in real with God, people. Your kid needs to be in church. Your teenagers need to be in church. I'm just over this. You'll take them to this ball game. You'll take them to that. You'll get them to school. You'll take them here. You need, if they live under your roof, I'm telling you, get legalistic with them. Say, you know what? If I got to be legalistic, then I'm legalistically telling you until you're mature enough to hear God yourself, let's go to church. We have let a whole generation do anything but go to church, and now the whole world is grabbing them. They're believing the lies. They don't even know how to fight the lies. And I think youth groups are great, but if a youth group is just another social club, your kid needs more than a social club. They need to know how to fight. They need to know the Word of God. They need to know who they are in Christ. Anyway, so let your kids begin to row deep. Cast their nets and let them catch Jesus, everything he's got for them. Master, Peter replied, we've just come back from fishing all night and didn't catch a thing. This is kind of cool. So he knows who Jesus is, right? They actually know he's the Son of God. Does everybody get that? They know that they are walking around talking and fishing with God. And there's a friendliness to the conversation. He's calling him master because he knows who he is. And yet Jesus has no spirit of control, but gets the reverence that's due him, that Peter can say, you know, I've been fishing all day. It's kind of funny if you look at these guys. Shouldn't you know by now that if Jesus is telling you something, it's probably going to work? And he has to tell me that. You know, it's going to work, Cindy. You know, I listened to something from Larry Randall this week, and it just really set me free in a way I didn't realize I was getting into this bondage. And it was really good, and it was a message was on, his message was on God will tell you things because he's your friend, and he may not give you a platform to share those. And you may wonder, why don't I have that platform to share this? Why do I get things before other people, but they get to share them before me? And God's not trying to give me a name. He's not trying to give you a name. He's not trying to give you a platform. He just wants some friends. And then he went on to talk about, because I think he kind of has a church like this, and he kind of talked about, you know, he goes, God revealed the most powerful things to the least likely people. Like shepherds were not the fancy, overly educated, good-smelling people. And they were the ones who knew about Jesus being born. And then he was talking about, you know, the prophetess, was it Simeon and Anna? Who was it in the, Anna and Simeon. Yeah, that they were the ones who knew that this was the Son of God. And they weren't the high priest, and they weren't the, you know what I mean? It was really kind of cool that, and he revealed himself after the first message after the cross, the first powerful get free ladies message after the cross is he gave a message to what used to be a woman with tons of demons and a very promiscuous life. And she was there weeping and crying and so in love with Jesus that he stopped going before the Father. I love him. He's like, Dad, we got to do this. She's her heart's broken. Hey, Mary, it's me. Oh, Master, well, don't touch me. But go tell your brothers. I know they're going to have a hard time listening to a woman telling them this, but we're going to change everything right now. So go tell your brothers that I'm alive. I got to go. I'll be back. Wow. So it really gave me an appreciation for all the people God sends here who come from really hurt backgrounds, who come from not that much education, who come from themselves wondering, God, why would you let me know all this? Because he likes to reveal himself to people other people don't think he would ever reveal himself to. Isn't he amazing? He's amazing. I just love him. Anyway, all right, so, Master, Peter replied, we've just come back from fishing all night and we didn't catch a thing. But if you insist, we'll go out again and let down our nets because of your word. Now, Peter doesn't have a lot of enthusiasm here, but he is going to be obedient. Peter was kind of hard-headed, everybody. Like Peter could see a miracle, turn around and be all puffed up, get rebuked by Jesus. I mean, Peter probably has more the personality of most of us. Probably not too many John the Beloveds in here. Oh, I love him, whatever he says, yes. They can't even kill John. He's so in love with Jesus. He's out in the work camp. Visiting heaven. I wonder if he saw those guys when he went there. Hey, you guys, all of you already up here. Man, you're so blessed. You know, I'm just in that work camp. You know, they tried boiling me. It didn't work. And they tried to kill me this way. They sent me off this work camp. I'm supposed to be working right now, but here I am with you guys. Praise God. This is awesome. It's real. The word of God is real. How things work in the spirit realm is real. How real God is real. That's why these broadcasts are called Jesus is Real. These aren't cute stories. These are true pictures to put in your mind of the reality of what these people, real people, walk through with their characters and their personality. That's pretty cool. So when they pulled up their nets, okay, so he did it. So he's kind of saying, okay, we'll go out. We'll put it down again. What faith that Peter had. No wonder Jesus liked to say, little faith, little faith, oh, little faith, little faith. And so here is he going out. He's not having faith to do this. He's going out because Jesus is master. Because Jesus is master. Okay, can we all let that one go really deep? Because you will not move into any kind of real authority, apostolic anything, get any real depth of a relationship until you recognize he is the master. Think for a minute. If he really is your master and you only do what he tells you to do and go where he tells you to go, how many think you'd probably be pretty protected? Unless he had decided it's time for you to come be with him, because he's not that concerned about that. He knows in that throne room the people in the hour we're living who are being massacred for the Lord get to go straight to that throne room and stay there in that room and that kind of presence of God where creatures and beings and elders cannot even stand up and they're yelling, holy, 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 every time they turn. We cannot even imagine that kind of presence. That is not boring. That is going to electrify you from your head to your toe. You will not even know what to do. You'll just put your head back down and scream, holy, oh my gosh, holy, holy, holy. It's not like boring, boring. It's like revelation and ecstasy and every part of your being be fully alive like you've never even imagined before, greater than anything you could get down here. And so they may die for the Lord, the martyrs, but according to scripture in the book of Revelation, they're instantly in that place with God until all their brothers have come in. So keep that in mind, because if we get further and further in the end times, and we might be ones who lose our heads, who cares? Here's the thing. I want people to know Jesus. I'm praying for the people in all these wars everywhere, whether it's Russia's and Ukraine's or Israel's or Gaza or Palestine's or whoever, Iranians, I want them to know Jesus. Because you don't know at what second one of them will not be here again. And the only hope is crying out to God. And he will make himself known. He will make himself known. I would be very surprised if during Holocaust it wasn't the greatest revival of the Jews in our history. Why were there so many Christians that God gave the grace and had them arrested to be there? And everything that happens, God is looking at, do they want me? I think our prayers need to really begin to cry out for the world to want Jesus, for these people to want Jesus. And yes, you can read the book of Revelations. We're not going to get into that tonight. But you will see where even when the worst things are happening, people harden their hearts and don't want God. Don't be one of those people. And pray for softened hearts. Pray for softened hearts. Pray for softened hearts with everyone who's in this hour of shaking, okay? They pulled up their nets. They were shocked to see a huge catch of fish, so much that their nets were ready to burst. Okay, I want you to know something. I've seen miracle after miracle after miracle. Not as many as these guys saw living with Jesus for 3.5 years, but more than most people. Actually, the book I'm writing right now, I'm like, Lord, how many people are going to believe this? There's like every chapter has at least 2 major miracles in it. And they're all real. And there's people you can go talk to who can say this really happened. And then in my thinking, it's like, Lord, who's going to believe that, you know, I can tell 20 or more major miracles in this one book? How many know that should be our normal life? That should not be the exception. And these are impossible miracles. These are like big, big miracles. This isn't, and that's what the apostolic is going to really be like. That's what we need to start believing for and watching God do in our lives. And so here's Peter. They see this and see this, and yet they're still surprised. They pulled up so much, they were shocked to see such a huge catch of fish. If you quit being amazed with miracles, something is wrong with you. Nobody deserves a miracle. You're not really guaranteed a miracle. You can't earn a miracle. And we need to be thankful for every single miracle. All the time. One of the best ways to stay right in the presence of God and the will in God is to have a thankful heart. And forget the murmuring and complaining and gossiping and all the goofy stuff, because that takes you right out of that, and stay in that place of gratefulness, thankfulness. And I could give a lot of teaching on that too, and true stories. Anyway, they waved to their business partners in the other boat for help. They ended up completely filling both boats with fish until the boats began to sink. How many know that God can take care of us in this hour we're living in? We've got to really know this. We know, think of, there's supernatural ways throughout Scripture, Old Covenant, New Covenant, where he fed people and took care of people. I really encourage people in the hour we're living in, as we're going into an apostolic hour, let's begin to get our eyes only on the Lord. I'm trusting God to pay the bills for whatever we have to do around here. I'm trusting him to take care of my stuff. No matter what's going on, I'm trusting him. And I encourage you to get in the Word and study the miracles and study what he's done and realize he can do it. And find out what he does. You know, I was listening to Daniel in the lion's den last night. That's really quite amazing. They try to kill him, and he goes in there, and an angel comes and stops the lion's mouth. And he wasn't angry at the king, even though he was in captivity. And the king, who couldn't change what he had been tricked into, actually prayed to Daniel's God that God would spare Daniel. And so when Daniel came out, he didn't curse the king. He said, "Long live the king." And all those ones who tried to destroy Daniel were thrown into the lions, who were very hungry now. And them and their whole families were devoured. I mean, no, we have to get back into that. These aren't stories. These are true. This is what really happened in captivity. That's what really happened when a rulership did not believe in God. But Daniel was able to make them, they wanted what Daniel had. There's so many truths in the Word of God to help us in the hour we're living. And we got to change our mindset to see, how am I going to be this kingdom person in the hour we're living? So the boats almost sink. Jesus is bound to be laughing. Talk about God who likes to do more than enough. Quit praying for just enough for you to get by. I'm speaking to myself now too. Let's start praying bigger. Let's believe bigger. Let's begin to believe and always pray according to God's ability, not what you think. Nothing's impossible for God. Honestly, nothing's impossible for God. He can give you way more money than you're asking him for. However he wants to do it. I was walking down my stairs at home on the way, and the Lord said, you know, if you really needed money, you could go fishing, and I could give you a bunch of fish, and they could have money in their mouth, and we could take care of this. I mean, I got a beach house. Let's go out there. I'll pull in the fish and pull out some gold or something. Everybody's like, whoa, look at this lady. He has ways to do it. They're not cute stories. And we're going to enter into an apostolic in the last days where we're only going to be able to depend on God and his supernatural provision, his supernatural protection. I want everybody to get that in your spirit. We are entering into a day where we are going to have to breathe in and breathe out the kingdom. Isn't that exciting? I've got to live in faith. I've got to trust God. Who do you want to trust? The government? Yourself? Let's see. A, B, and C. Who do you want to trust? God? The government? Yourself? I'll stick with God. Like, okay, God, and just mark the other stuff off. Okay, just race them. All right, I choose you, God. That's why he's master. All right. Now, when Simon Peter saw this astonishing miracle, he knelt at Jesus' feet and begged him, go away from me, master, for I am a sinful man. When you have a true encounter with God and how good he is and how powerful he is and how loving he is, you will have this same reaction. And if you don't, there may be something wrong with your encounter. I can almost honestly say every encounter, which is all the time, I always leave extremely thankful, praising him and thanking him and asking him, how could you care about me like this? How could you use me like this? How could you show me these things? Who am I that you would do this? And true encounters with God does the opposite of making you prideful. Now, a counterfeit encounter would probably make you prideful. A delusion would make you prideful. But when you really enter into an encounter with this powerful, awesome, wonderful God, it's like Peter. You just want to fall at his feet and say, why would you do this for me? How good are you? How awesome are you? And I believe God's going to bring us all back to this. And we're going to see how good he is and how powerful he is. And it's going to reveal how bad we are. But then we can cry out for him to make us holy because he's holy. And we're going to want sanctification. It says, Simon Peter and the other fishermen, including the partners, were awestruck over the miracle catch of fish. Jesus answered, do not yield to your fear, Simon Peter. From now on, you will catch men for salvation. Wow, that's powerful. Do not yield to your fear. So Friday nights we do intercession. We're going to be doing intercession a little bit. But I encourage those even watching this and seeing this later. It's a command. Do not yield to your fear. Do not yield to your fear. Don't pretend it's not there. Pretend that faith does nothing. Recognize this is a fearful situation. Does everybody understand where we're living right now on planet Earth and this time? How many would say this is a fearful time? Okay, so he's saying this, don't yield to that fear. Don't yield to that fear. Refuse it. Refuse to yield to that fear. And so with that, I'm hoping those who are watching are going to not want to yield to fear, and that this is going to help them to want to get in the Word and want to get to know this Jesus. So Father, right now we just pray anyone watching this who doesn't really know you, Lord, we ask by your Spirit that you would begin to reveal yourself to them. Lord, that their heart would cry out to know you. And Lord, that all they have to do is to say, Jesus Christ, I want to know you. Come into my life and forgive me my sins. And Lord, I thank you, if that really happens for them, they're not going to be able to not tell somebody. And the minute they tell somebody, coming from a real change in their heart, then they're going to know that they know they have been born again by your Spirit. And we give you praise for that, how awesome and easy it is to say yes to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you love this teaching, and you better say you love this teaching, then we want you to check out our web at beautyforashes.org. There is so much teaching there, and there's a resource library there. And also, check out my Facebook page at Cindy Foster Beauty for Ashes Ministry. We'd love you to partner with us and come along for the ride into the apostolic. God bless you.